Wednesday evening, and we're in the midst of studying stress, anxiety, and depression, why Christians experience it and why they do not need to. And tonight, people, we move into a new segment of this study that I think is extremely important in dealing with understanding stress and understanding depression, not from the clinical psychological aspect, but from a biblical thing of what's happening inside of us and what builds up inside of us, and that we might see these things, and that we can allow the Spirit to break through those things that from which stress and anxiety and depression and distress and these things come from. Going to introduce some new things tonight. So let's begin with a word of prayer. The same God that revealed to us the end time in Revelation is also the same God who cares about our everyday life and the happiness and the absence and the freedom of being distressed in life. So let's study His word and see what He's got for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray now that Your Spirit will open our mind, our ears, our eyes, Heavenly Father, to the truth. It's almost become, Father, where we accept stress and depression as an inevitability of life, that there's nothing that really can be done about it. And yet if we go to Your word and we understand Your relationship with us, and if we just even would sit back and think what kind of God You are, we would know that, no, this is not what You would have for us. Father, I pray that Your Spirit will lead us now. Give me the words to communicate these truths, Heavenly Father, to people that do hurt in their soul and that do carry distress with their life and anxieties and all these things that we're looking at, Father. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we have studied how. We studied how to live a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression, or free of sad. Stay tuned to FM. Stay tuned to the faith mindset, which is a way of saying that we've looked at for staying in faith, walking in the power of the Spirit. Then we noted, while that all sounds good, what does all of that mean? We spent a little while, and we'll spend more time on it, but we spent a little time introducing what does it mean to keep seeking the things above and set your mind on the things above and not on below. What does that mean? Experientially, not theologically, but in our daily life. Now we're going to go deeper into your soul and deeper into your mind, and we're going to look at where stress, anxiety, depression, distress, these things come from. They come from inside our soul and our mind. Now, we've already studied, and I hope that you've accepted this now as a reality, because it's not only true in the Bible, this is something that even the secular world recognizes. And that is that thoughts precede stress, anxiety, and depression. That they're not something that are involuntarily. We choose to be sad. We choose to be stressed. We choose to have anxiety. We choose to be depressed. It's not involuntary. So we've got that, I hope, solidified. What seems involuntary, however, in other words, okay, all right, I agree. Thoughts precede stress, anxiety, depression. Ha! But, the thoughts themselves are involuntary. See? We want to keep pushing it. Just seems like the thoughts are involuntary. Involuntary emotional uprising in our soul and in our bodies. I haven't dealt a whole lot with stress, anxiety, depression, and the human body. I think there is enough documentation that it does affect our body in a multitude of ways. So, but this just seems like what we're looking at now, okay, stress, anxiety, depression, sad is not involuntary, that the thoughts do precede it, but for what seems involuntary are the thoughts. Where do they come from? What is all of this? What's going on? What I'd like to do, just as I drew from something that is familiar to everyone, to deal with how to walk, we dealt with the radio, we dealt with FM, and we dealt with AM. And then we noted, we for fun put that to faith mindset and Adamic mindset or in the flesh mindset. I want to draw from some other things here to help us understand what's going on in our soul. What's going on inside of us that brings about this stress, this anxiety, the depression, and the thoughts that bring it into being, that causes this rising up of this emotion and these things in our soul. And I'm going to start. I'm going to introduce a couple of things to you that we're going to be talking about. I want to say right up front to those of you that listen to tapes, we here at the church have talked about these in great detail in various studies, especially in the book of Revelation. We'll be studying it even more. My purpose is not to take you on a long study of these concepts. I'm using them. I want to introduce them and then relate them to what's going on inside of us. The first thing that I want to look at is in Genesis 1:2. So if you get out your Bible and turn to Genesis 1:2, I want to have fun with a very beautiful, very important word in the Scriptures. Very important word in the Scriptures. In Genesis 1:2, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And what I want to talk about for a moment is that phrase or that word, the deep. The deep. It's a very important word in the Bible. It is a very important word in ancient, Near Eastern ancient mythology. But it's very important in the Bible. Now, we're not going to go through all of the places in the Bible. The deep, the surging mass of water. The concept of the deep is that it's far beneath the levels of the earth. Now, put that in your mind, your notes. The deep is far below, beneath. And now I want to deal with that. The deep is something that is far beneath. That's very important to us, following what I'm going to show you about your soul. Far beneath the levels of the earth. Now, again, I'm not here to study the deep, except to point out this about the deep. In the ancient world, the prehistoric world before man, there was a battle between God and a supernatural creature named Lucifer, who rebelled against God and became known as Satan and many other names. But what I want to talk a moment about is the prehistoric world, the prehistoric battle. Once the battle was finished and God had won the battle, he cast Satan and the demons that followed him, he cast them, God cast them into the deep. Far beneath in the surface of the earth, into this deep. It's where he cast the fallen angels. And I'm not here tonight to take you on that journey. Just sort of ride with me, if you will, because I want to relate this to your soul in a moment. So, this is where God cast them. Now, as we develop through the Bible, beyond Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses, the first few verses, we're going to see that light is now going to be called day, and that darkness is going to be called night. And there's another thing that's going to happen. This phrase, the deep, is going to now be called the sea. The sea, S-E-A, throughout Scripture. It's going to become the sea. If just for fun, in Romans 13, the beast, 13:1, the beast rises up out of the see. In Revelation 21:1, God pronounces that in the new heavens and earth, there will be no more sea. No longer any sea. Now, you ask yourself, why? Why does God... What does God have against the sea? I thought it was pretty good. Kind of romantic. And water and life, a lot of things. What's God got against the sea? That he was no more sea. We understand if he says no more darkness, because Jesus Christ is the light and he will always be illuminating the new heaven, new earth. But he says there'll be no more sea. What's it about the sea? Well, that's what I want to deal with, is the first what it was first called, and that's just called the deep. So the deep is far beneath the surface level. Now, the next thing I would like to talk to you about is the name that Satan is going to pick up. He is known as the seven-headed dragon. He is known as the seven-headed dragon. Now, those who have studied with me know about the seven-headed dragon. We know what it's related to. The seven-headed dragon is in Job all the way to the book of Revelation. And we know what's going on with the seven-headed dragon. Then we know that the seven heads represent seven nations where Satan rises up in the history of man to overthrow the rule of God. And the first head is Egypt. And the second head is Assyria. And the third head is Babylon. And the fourth head is the Medo-Persian Empire. And the fifth head is Greece. And the sixth head is Rome I in history, of the time of Jesus Christ, and then Rome II, the revived Roman Empire at the end of time. So these seven nations make up the seven heads of the seven-headed dragon, and that he's called a seven-headed dragon in that respect. So representing the seven different nations that rebel against God. So God cast the angels, Satan and the angels, into the deep, and they rise up in these seven heads that we studied now. Okay. To teach and to work with you on the next segment of our study of stress, anxiety, and depression, we're going to borrow from these biblical figures. I'm just borrowing from them to help us. First of all, let's look at the deep. This far beneath the surface. We all have, I can teach it this way, we all have this deep, this sea or this deep in our souls, in our minds, where we cast our own seven-headed dragon. Now, be very careful. This is not the seven-headed dragon spoken of in the Bible. I am using this to help us to understand why stress, anxiety, and depression rises up inside of us almost involuntarily or seemingly involuntarily. But we have this deep inside of us. Sometimes this is called the subconscious. And if you like that, just stay with that. Every time I say the deep, you just say subconscious, if you please. But I like to think of it as something even deeper than that. Just somewhere deep down inside of me is this deep, this area, this sea that's well beneath the surface. And what we're going to see is what we do with our own souls in this deep. We cast our own seven-headed dragon. Now, I want to emphasize, and I'm not going to do this anymore, this has nothing to do directly with the seven-headed dragon in the Bible. I am borrowing from it so that we can have fun and understanding what's going on inside of us when we become so depressed with life. We're just using this as a way of an analogy, if you please, like I did FM and AM. But I think to those of you, some of you that are very thinking and intellectual and all, this isn't going to communicate. Those of you that don't experience stress and depression probably won't communicate. But I know it's going to communicate to those who hurt deep in your soul, where it just seems like, okay, I still wonder if stress and depression are not involuntary, but let's say that I agree with you. There's just still something happening inside of me that it just seems like I don't have control over. And that's what I want to talk about. That's why I'm using this as the analogy. So I think those of you who listen to this on tape and here who have suffered, and I mean really suffer stress and anxiety and depression and distress, who find it seemingly impossible to stop these involuntary thoughts that cause stress, anxiety, and depression, I think this is going to be a most descriptive way of looking at it and very helpful. Now, what is the seven-headed dragon that we cast deep into our souls? What is the seven-headed dragon that rises up inside of us in the fashion of stress, in the fashion of anxiety, in the fashion of depression? What is the seven-headed dragon? Since the thoughts precede sad, precede stress, anxiety, depression, and since thoughts are voluntary, what is it that seems to be involuntary, that seems to involuntarily produce this stress and this depression? When we cast the seven-headed dragon deep into our souls, deep into this deep of our soul, I want to tell you what we're doing. Now, what I'm doing for those of you on tape, on a sheet here, is just drawing a circle. We'll view it as a circle. This is the deep inside of our soul. Put the deep in the middle of it. Now, up here on the surface level, we'll call it the conscience, if you please. Here we have the conscious level. And when we cast the seven-headed dragon, and I'm drawing seven lines from this line above the deep, and when we cast the seven-headed dragon down into the deep of our souls, I want to explain to you what's happening. What's happening is, you're actually building up something. You're actually building up a fortress. All right, fortress inside, under the word the deep. Building up a fortress. Building up a stronghold. These are biblical words. You're building up a fortress. You're building up a stronghold for Satan and the flesh and the world to work on inside of you. This stronghold is a stronghold of the flesh, a stronghold of Satan, a stronghold of the world that we have built up inside of our own soul. We've done this. We built this fortress for Satan to work on inside of us. As a believer, you cannot be demon-possessed. Now, I want to say something when I say things like that. Someone's listening to this tape, and you hurt. And it is your belief that believers can be demon-possessed. I'm not here to argue with you about that. If you want to believe that, please, don't cut off the tape and don't just say, well, this isn't going to help me because I believe we can be. Don't do that. Just stay with me. Just stay with me. That's your belief. I think if we had time, if that was our study, I could show you in Scripture. But I also know that other preachers can show you where you can be. So let's understand, just for fun, just say, okay, put it on the side of your plate. Believers cannot be demon-possessed, but you can. Every believer can build up inside of you these fortresses. You can build up these fortresses inside your soul for the world, for the flesh, your own flesh, and the devil to work on you from within. To build inside of your life the rising up of depression and distress. To convince you that you are unworthy, convince you that you are no good, to convince you that you are undeserving, that you are a loser. All these things that we've been talking about that we've received in various times in our life, these fortresses in your soul form strongholds. You know what a stronghold is? It's what the enemy, and sometimes it's good, it's used in a good way, but here in your soul, in this deep of your soul, it's what the enemy has built, but you are doing it yourself. But it's filled up with all of these things that we're going to look at, of the seven-headed dragon. These become strongholds in your soul for the world and the flesh and the devil to use. And all they have to do is to prick the thought, to stimulate something that causes the fortresses in your soul to rise back up into your conscience now as stress, anxiety, and depression. We first cast the seven-headed dragon into the deep of our soul. Then it rises up, it builds these fortresses, these strongholds, and through the manipulation of the network of Satan, and through the insecurity of our own flesh, and through the world, which involves a lot of Christians like Job's three friends, causes these to rise back up. And this is why it's going to seem like it's involuntary. What do you mean? Okay, so these thoughts precede it, but for the stress and the anxiety and the depression, people still have trouble accepting that that thoughts precede that because it just seems like it's involuntary. That's what I want to show you here. That whatever's going on down there, this fortress that we have built up, comes back up, and this is the way it raises its ugly head. It's like in Revelation 13, the beast rises up out of this deep. He doesn't look like the demon that he went in. It's this beast that's going to rise up. Well, that's what sad is, people. I don't want to carry this too far, but this is the beast inside of you. This is the beast within. And this beast is going to rise up as sad. It's going to rise up as stress. It's going to rise up as anxiety. It's going to rise up as depression. So if we're going to beat this thing from within, if we're going to allow God to take care of this from within, we're going to have to go through and realize what's going on inside of us in this study. So these fortresses, people, these strongholds in your soul, in the deep of your soul, drain life from you. They pull you down. That's why you're miserable. And I'm going to say that's why a lot of Christians are miserable all their life. And I want to talk to you. And I want to show you that's not inevitable. In other words, it's not inevitable. You don't have to be there. What we want to do is see what's going on, though. I want to show you how Satan uses the strongholds. Let me give you a physical picture. The Israelites came across the Red Sea, walked across the Red Sea. They get to Jordan. Do you remember why they didn't want to go across Jordan? Because they saw the strongholds over there. And they said, we can't beat them. Those strongholds are too big. They, in fear, pulled back. This is what these strongholds will do in your life, people. They'll pull you back. They'll pull you back from your Christian life. They'll pull you back in your marriage, in your life itself. And you'll always be defeated. You'll walk around with stress, anxiety, and depression and think that it is inevitable, that you're doomed or damned to that because you're unworthy. No, please. Stay with me and I'll show you. You're not doomed to that. Now, what is the seven-headed dragon? that we cast into the deep of our soul? How are we building these strongholds in our souls? Let me talk with you. In many cases, things happen in your childhood. You're abused, you're neglected, sexually abused, physically abused, just controlled and everything, always kept down. And that was not dealt with. That was not resolved. That was not taken care of properly. In many cases, you didn't even know how to take care of it. You pushed it down into the deep of the soul where it's going to rise up. Not able to take care of it because you're too young. Not able to take care of it because you didn't know how. Even regardless of age, when these things start coming into even adults, to a man, to a woman in their marriage and life, these things start building up and you haven't been taught how to deal with them. Or three, you choose not to resolve it. It just hurts too much. So you just push it down into the deep. These things have become fortresses. These things have become strongholds down in the deep of your soul. These things do not always have to happen in childhood. In many cases, this is where they start. But it can also occur, and does occur in many cases, later in life. Dreams, expectations do not come about. Some major hurts come about in marriage, family problems, work, different things. But from these strongholds, these fortresses that we pushed down and built ourselves, we built these ourselves. Don't go blaming Satan for them. And don't blame the world. We built them. We built these fortresses. And from these fortresses, these strongholds in our soul, come so many destructive things in our life that we're putting under the study of stress, anxiety, and depression, the inability to enjoy life. Certain drives, compulsions that come from the deep. They rage. And this is why it seems like it's involuntary, doesn't it? To those of you who've experienced it, they just rage up to our emotions. And we can't understand it. They just rise up all of a sudden. And we lash out, or we deal with our spouses, or with somebody, or some people, or something. And even we can't understand it. We can't even explain it. But it just seems like, it's why you argue with me. No, it's not voluntary. Do you think I would act like that jerk voluntarily? No, it's involuntary. No, it isn't. I want to help you understand what's going on, though. You cast down the seven-headed dragon into the soul, into the deep, and it rises up in stress, anxiety, and depression. So this is where they're coming from. But your emotions are overwhelmed. And it just seems like you have no control from it or over it. Now you know. Let's say, for example, you've accepted it now. You've stayed in the study long enough and you agree. You know that thoughts precede stress, anxiety, depression. You know that stress, anxiety, depression are not spontaneous combustion of the soul. But what is difficult is that these things do seem to rage up, involuntarily. But it is not just emotional uprising. I'm going to show you that. Thoughts, thought patterns seem to work their way to create destructive behavior. The inability to enjoy, the inability to what? To love and to be loved. You do not have that ability, seemingly. All these come from the deep of your soul. They all come from the stronghold, the fortresses inside. Now what's going on inside of you is that Satan is working through his lie. He doesn't have to indwell you. And I know sometimes when people are under such heaviness, and trust me, I know what you're talking about, that it does seem like I'm demon-possessed. You're demon-possessed. It does seem like there's some involuntary force, so it has to be demonic in my Christian life that's inside of me that's doing this because I hurt and cry so hard, so deep in my soul and in my life. Because of the destruction in your lives going on, we think it's got to be demonic. No, it doesn't. It's coming from these strongholds, and one of the first things I want to help you with is truly understanding 1 John 1:9 in a true sense. Why is that there? It's going to be the beginning of cleaning out your soul of stress, anxiety, and depression. Letting God do it, because He's the one that's going to do this. But call all this destruction starts coming up in your life from these strongholds. Satan starts taking authority inside of you, but not by his presence, people, but by using his lie, and that lie pulls from already these things that are down there. Yes, that's right. I am inadequate. I am horrible. I am a dirty person. Look what happened to me when I was a little girl. I'm dirty. Look what happened to me when I was a little boy. I'm no good. Look what happened to me as a child. I was never good enough for my parents. We go through our whole life then, carrying this inside of us. Keep you right where He wants you. Keep you away from being who you are in Jesus Christ. He knows how to work on these strongholds, these fortresses that we have built in our soul. Now, what I want to do, because I do not by any means plan on spending time in this study on every head of the seven-headed dragon, but I want to start with you under seeing the seven heads of the seven-headed dragon so that we can talk and go on from there. What is this seven-headed dragon that is in our soul? Well, the first head of the seven-headed dragon is fear. The first head of the seven-headed dragon is fear. And this is so powerful because, people, it comes from what? It comes from the insecure nature of our flesh nature. Remember, what is the flesh nature? It is continually being corrupted. It is deceitful above all else. It is incurably wounded. It is full of evil, and it's insane. It's totally insecure. And therefore, predominant from our flesh nature is fear, the first head. The second head, anger. Now, these aren't necessarily in any order, but the next one is anger. And I'm going to show you how that starts off as a child and where we become angry. But what do we do with it? We don't know how to deal with it. And so we put it down into the deep. We cast it down like God did the demons and the angels that followed Satan. Boom, cast it down into the deep. We do that with what we're going to see about anger and how anger relates, what anger is in regard to depression. I'll show you. Then we have hate. Hate. How hate plays its way as in this fortress in our soul, farming way down in the deep. Jealousy. Jealousy. Fourth head. The fifth head, I want to put two things together. Now, some people, if they were making a list, would separate them. But let's put them together in our study, because they're very important in Satan's lie. All of these are very important in Satan's lie in working against us. Now let's take a look at the next head. The fifth head is guilt and shame. Guilt and shame. All the guilt and shame that so many people carry through their Christian life and never come out of it. Depressed, sick, distressed with their life because of the guilt and shame that they have not dealt with and just cast it deep down into their soul, sometimes as little children. Bitterness and resentment. I'm going to put those two together. Bitterness and resentment. The sixth head of the seven-headed dragon. And the seventh head is a head that I struggle with. I'll put it on the board and I'll talk to you about it. The seventh head of the seven-headed dragon is arrogance. Now, I struggled for quite some time on the seventh head, arrogance. While it does not seem to fit in the other tormentors. Therefore, I thought of separating guilt and shame or bitterness and resentment and leave arrogance out. But people, the more I studied the Scriptures, I couldn't leave it out. And I want us to be aware of where it plays. It plays in the whole first revolution and workup of Satan was his arrogance. It caused him to rebel against God. And it relates to the, it is appealed to so strongly by the flesh nature, me, and Satan's lie, me and my self-worth. So I think we can build we will build a good case in showing you how arrogance is the seven head. So we have seven-headed dragon: fear, anger, hate, jealousy, guilt and shame, bitterness and resentment. The seven-headed dragon inside of us. Now, almost every Christian, I'd like to say every Christian, but I don't know, so we'll say almost every Christian knows that all seven of these are wrong. These are sins. Sins of the mind. Almost every Christian knows that. But what is so important to our study is not condemnation of sin. I want to talk to you about where these come from. Where they come from. I want you to understand them. Understand them properly. Where do these come from and why are they there? And if we do not properly understand them, we will not properly be able to take care of them. Very few Christians properly take care of the seven-headed dragon in the soul. They either let them explode or they cast them down into the deep of the soul. And this is our study. What happens when you cast them down into the deep of your soul? You cast the seven-headed dragon down into your soul, then it rises up seemingly involuntarily. I know that. But it rises up, rages up, it's sad. So until we properly deal with them, Satan has a stronghold in our lives. The flesh has a stronghold. The world has a stronghold. People, your husband has a stronghold. Your wife has a stronghold. Your friend, like Job's three friends, whoever it is, has a stronghold inside of your soul that they can work on. And boy, it's just confirmed by what you put into your own soul. These things happen in our lives, in our childhood. There are a lot of things that happen. Parents abuse a child. They tell the children that they're failures. That you're never going to amount to anything. All this does damage. Sexual abuse, verbal abuse, loser, failure. You've got to perform. You've got to be worthy. You've got to perform for parents. Then you've got to perform for the church, and then you've got to perform for God, and you've got to perform for other people. And if you fail to perform, oh, horrible am I, oh, horrible person. And Christians hold this against other Christians. Look what you've done to God. You've embarrassed God because here you are, a deacon of church, or a piano player, or a worker in the church, or a preacher, or whatever it is, and you've done something happen. You've done this to God! You've embarrassed God! Put all of that and building up on this shame and this guilt in our souls. Well, first of all, get a better view of God than that. You are not going to embarrass God, dear people. You're not going to do that. Now, other Christians want to be embarrassed. That's their problem. But you're not going to embarrass God. And you're not going to embarrass any Christian who's walking in the Spirit for any length of time. They know better. But if I can get you to think that your self-worth is your performance for God and you fail, I got you. I can just show you how unworthy you are. A lot of things happen in our society. Your parents get a divorce. I think few Christians who get divorces realize the damage to the souls of children. There's two very big things that we talked about already before, and we'll be talking about it a lot. And one of those two things are to love and to be loved. And many people grow up, they do not know how to love, and they do not know how to be loved. And I want to talk to you as we go through this. Fear has a great deal to do with it. Anger has a great deal to do with it. Hate has a great deal to do with it. Shame and guilt, bitterness, anger. Making a little child choose. You've got to go with mommy because that's the right thing to do. Your dad is no good bum. You've got to go with your father because your mother's no good. And then the parents, a lot of parents, Christian parents, get the children and spend their whole time running down the other person. Not understanding what you're doing inside the soul. Well, the child don't know how to deal with that, so what does the child do? It pushes it down into the deep. Pushes down the anger at you for doing that and the anger at them or the shame of having to choose you over them and guilt. I didn't choose my father. I didn't choose my mother. It's my fault that they did this. And all of this crap gets down into the soul. This demon is cast down in there. This seven-headed dragon. And that's all Satan needed. Because he's going to use it to keep you in Satan's life. And that's why it's so hard for each generation in American history as we build more and more young people that have this in their soul and don't know how to deal with it, don't know how to love, and don't know how to be loved. Fear, anger, resentment. All men are no good. All women are no good. A lot of people say that in jokes. But I wonder sometimes if there isn't some truth, meaning truth as far as what they believe inside their own soul when they do that. It's all building up inside so that we're cutting ourselves off, people of life, of the whole enjoyment of life. Guilt and shame that it's the child's fault, or shame that I'll never be worthy, and then never try, never go to work, never get out there and give it a shot at life because you know you're unworthy. Your parents have convinced you of that. And all that has to happen is something happened, and then there's these fortresses in the soul. Yeah, that's right, you're no good. You're not really worthy. Don't try that. You'll fail again. You'll show your parents they were right. You'll show the church that they were right. You'll show. So don't try it. Just stay down. And Christians like other Christians that stay down. People, I don't. I want Christians to stand up in who they are in Jesus Christ. And we're going to take on the seven-headed dragon. And we're going to tear down these fortresses. We're going to let God tear them down inside the soul. And as they go away, stress, anxiety, and depression start leaving our very souls. So just so many things that happen. All these build up this stronghold in our soul. This is why as people get older, as I just said, they get older, they don't know how to love. And they don't know how to be loved. Those are two very important aspects. And dealing with love, to be loved and to love. Many do not know how to do it. Someone loves you, but you shut them out. You refuse to be loved. You love someone and they reject you. What happens in the soul? All these emotions start rising up. These actions that just shock even you come into play. In all other areas of your life, you're mature. You acted in this area so foolish. Why do I do that? I can solve fifth degree mathematical problems. I run a company. I make a lot of money. I'm responsible. But look what I just did in this marriage or in this relationship or in something going on in my life. Where does that come from? Now, what Christians like to tell you is that you're a phony because, see, you're not really a Christian because all these other areas were false because they found the one area where you failed. No, people, understand these other areas, you were walking in the Spirit, but this one's a battle for you. And that's what I want to work on with you. I want to work on letting that one go so that God can purify that one and His love will even fight in that area. You might, if we can think of, we have five areas in our life. Look at your hands with all the fingers pointed out. And in four areas, I'm going to go for the big one. Got four areas, you're just super. You can see the love one another as I have loved you in four areas of your life. But there's one area that you just look like a horrible sinner. Now, does that mean that these other four areas, you're false and hypocritical, like some Christians say, or many Christians say? No. You're in the Spirit, you're great. That's wonderful. But you see, there's this fortress inside your soul. And God wants the whole of us. He wants all five of us. If you're a Christian, don't look at a believer. Oh, well, I see now their weakness. Well, that means all the other areas are not a Christian. Don't do that. Help them in the one area. Help them in the one area. And that's what we're going to work on and see in this study. What's going on in our soul. But emotions and thoughts and actions all come up. And we don't know where. And it just seems like they're coming up involuntarily. Involuntarily. So we try to handle problems. We try to handle these things. We try to solve it. And we want to solve it. I work hard at it. As Christians, I know that are experiencing stress, anxiety, depression. I work hard. Boy, I learn Bible doctrine, and I work hard trying to apply it with Bible doctrine, executing Bible doctrine, self-discipline, self-control, control of my mind, control of my emotions. But it doesn't work. I don't want to just build a wall so that nobody matters and nothing matters. But that's what a lot of Christians do. What a lot of Christians do. So they don't understand where they're coming from. How are you going to work with them? How are you going to handle them? Sometimes they just push them down. Don't want to work on it. Just put it down into the deep and let it stay there. People, it's not going to stay there. Another way of looking at it is like a volcano, and you've just pushed all of these forces down into this volcano, and it's going to come up. That's stress, anxiety, depression. And it's going to leave lava all over your life, and it's going to be ugly. And you're going to have a mess. It just seems like that your whole life. Well, we're going to see why. So, what is the seven-headed dragon? Again, the seven-headed dragon: fear, anger, hate, jealousy, guilt and shame, bitterness and revenge, and arrogance. He spawned the seven-headed dragon that we cast down into the soul. And in closing of this lesson, I want to talk to you for a moment. What are these things now? What is jealousy? What is anger? Hate? Bitterness? Okay. Preachers and people know, like, oh, it's sin. Okay, it's a sin. But I want you and me to talk about what they really are. Just saying that sin doesn't help us. It makes us even feel worse. So that doesn't help. I want to help you. What are they? People, what I hope you can try to understand, and I'm going to use jealousy for first of all. Jealousy is a protector. Jealousy is a protector of your flesh nature. That's what jealousy is. That's what anger is. That's what bitterness is. That's what revenge is. It's a protector of your flesh self. It is a defense of yourself. Your flesh feels threatened, insecure, so jealousy, anger, all of these things come up to protect you. Remember how sensitive your flesh nature is, those five things. Well, these come to their defense. All those things that we study, the five things, they're continually being corrupted, full of evil, deceit, all the insane. Okay, it's going to need protection. And what is going to protect it are these things we're looking at, the heads of the seven-headed dragon. That's really what they are. Somebody has complimented, you're in the flesh, not in the spirit. You're in the flesh. Well, what does your flesh nature say? Well, wait a minute, what about me? It can be simple. Oh, you look very nice today. Now, I like what you're wearing. Well, wait a minute, what about what I'm wearing? Now, you may not say those words, but you're thinking those things of whoever paid the compliment, especially if that person's important to you. Somebody is praised at work. Well, wait a minute. People just don't understand. I'm doing a lot. I'm down here doing hard work. What is jealousy doing? It's protecting you. You feel threatened. And so it comes to support. So when the flesh nature feel threatened, one of the heads of the seven-headed dragon in our soul comes to play, comes to protect it. To help you understand what's going on from something that we're very much aware of today, and that is this whole concept of AIDS. And what is AIDS? It's the acquired immune deficiency syndrome. In simple terms, your immune system that is designed to protect your body ends up destroying your body. Look what's happening here. The things that come to protect your flesh nature end up destroying you from within. Just come in and start tearing you up within, because you just can't get over that jealousy. You can't get over the hate and the anger, which means people, and very important, get ready for next week, you can't forgive. You don't want to forgive. We'll deal with how all of this works as we go through. But what is this jealousy that's building up, that you just hiding and you're putting down into the deep of your soul? You've cast it down there, each of these heads at various times in your life. But all they are, they come to protect you. They have come to protect your flesh nature. See, this is why it is so important in all of the preceding tapes that we've studied and lessons that you understand the flesh you has been crucified. It's dead. Don't let these things come to protect a dead body. It's like somebody going to the funeral and saying, well, wait a minute, dig it back up. I got to get food to them. I got to get air and water to them. And some of you, I got to get a phone to. But just, I've got to feed them. I've got to nourish them. What are you, and you're standing there looking at this, you're crazy, they're dead. Give me that good food. I'm alive. No, I want to feed. I want to protect what is dead. People, that seven-headed dragon that's in your soul that you're casting down into the deep is dead. But boy, we take care of it and we nourish it. We're trying to support it. So we already have this insecure nature. It's threatened. All these things come up, and now we've got to learn how to correctly handle these things. So the first issue with each of the heads of the seven-headed dragon, realize really what are they. Don't just say jealousy is a sin. Understand what's going on. I'm in my flesh nature. That's where the jealousy comes from. Let me give you a contrast with your new nature. Remember, you were buried. The old flesh was crucified with Christ, and you were raised up a new creature. Let me talk to you about the new creature. When you are walking in the new creature, and that by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, He pours in spiritual love, and guess what? Spiritual love is never threatening. That's why you have peace. It's never threatening. There's no jealousy with spiritual love. There's no anger with spiritual love. Love is not jealous. Love does not boast. All these things are absent when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're in the new flesh. And we're going to see how this is helping, how we're going to clean, how God is going to clean out these fortresses in our souls. So we will stop here, and next Wednesday night we will pick it back up. We're at this point now because we want to start going to the Bible now, and we want to start looking at some of the things that we have seen tonight actually in text. We've taken biblical principles, the seven-headed dragon, the deep, all these kinds of things, but now I want to start getting into the text and work with you with what's going on inside of you in your own soul. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just stand amazed at the manner in which you have created us and created our soul and our mind. On the one hand, in the flesh, Heavenly Father, it'll destroy us. On the other hand, Heavenly Father, in the Spirit, in the new man, in the new person we are in Christ, it strengthens, it stabilizes, causes our flesh, our self, our new nature to be at peace, the absence of stress, and the absence of depression, the absence of being distressed about life. What an awesome God you are. And I pray, Father, that you will continue get these tapes in the hands of people, not those who don't need it and just want to be critical, but those who need it. Any Christian that goes to bed at night depressed, distressed, be able to start seeing Heavenly Father who they are in Jesus Christ. What the power of your Spirit can do for them. They can be set free of all of this, regardless of the circumstances. You don't have to change their husband. You don't have to change their wife. You don't have to change their finances. They just simply become who they are in Jesus Christ, in the power of your Spirit. Praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.